I don't know what to say about that reading from Genesis. Ooh. Let's talk about the gospel. So, imagine this. When St. Francis Xavier was sent by Ignatius to get on a ship and go to India, it took him about a year, year and a half, whatever. And he got there and he preached to people and baptized a lot of folks. Okay. Imagine being holed up on a ship with St. Francis Xavier, who wasn't a saint yet, but was on his way. And he would be preaching to you every day for a year and a half. Could you take it? So this is the situation. He's on fire with the love of God saying, change your lives, change your lives. And the people on the ship are going, oh, God, give me a break. Leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you about that. That's like us, you and me, and the Pope, and everybody around. What Francis Xavier was interested in was getting the fire that he felt in his life across to the people on the ship. I don't know how many people, manned these ships back then. Let's say it would be a big ship, but let's say it's about this many, you all in this aisle, this section here. He'd be going to you individually, he'd be talking to you as a group. How much of that do you think you could take? And that's the mystery, I think, of... No, that's the way I'm coming to understand the Gospel of Mark and my life within it. Because I'm up here kind of on fire with what I'm coming to see and believe. I'm trying to convince you about that. Say, come on, look at this way. And you get to react as you do. That's the situation of the disciples throughout the Gospel of Mark. And it's about hearing and listening. So up on the mountaintop, the big guns come in. I wish I had a cup to do Darth Vader. You know, we could do, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. You know. Well, did they listen to him? No. Not until Peter, at the end of the gospel, the cock crows, he hears the cock crow, and he remembers Jesus' word. Wasn't one word saying, you're going to betray me. It's the whole of his teaching. It's about listening. Now, for you college students who are here, it's a son of a gun. Going into education, going to study, going to school, going to grad school, studying on your own, doing an MBA, whatever. It's a total humiliation, and that's why we distract ourselves, because it's too much to bear the fact that we don't know. I remember when I studied Hebrew 25 years ago or so, and dang, that was hard. It hurt my brain to read from right to left. But the deal is, for a year and a half, I felt like an idiot. And I couldn't stand it. And I didn't know what to do with that. Let me suggest that's what is going on with the disciples. Oh. Okay, open this up. This is the iPad because my printer isn't working. The verb akouo is used multiple times in the Gospel of Mark and throughout the whole Bible. The cloud that overshadows them is not just the cloud of God's glory, but it's the same cloud that led the people from slavery to freedom at the Exodus, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And it seems to me that the cloud that descends upon them is really about that, is announcing the path of freedom. Listen to him. So, during the Gospel of Mark, Jesus spoke to the people in parables. And he said to them, "Do you not hear this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables?" And a little bit later, describing and naming what happened in the parable of the sower. The ones on the path, when they hear the word, Satan comes and takes it away. They're tempted. The ones on rocky ground, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy but have no root. Others are sown among the thorns. These are ones who hear the word, but the cares of life choke it off. And on the good soil, they hear the word and accept it. That's the picture of discipleship. Losing the word and losing the word and having it choked off. And then, hopefully, at some point, we hear it. The good soil. I just want to do one or two more. When they're going across the boat after feeding the 5,000, he says, you know, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Herodians, and they're thinking, oh, it's because we don't have any bread. And he said, what is wrong with you people? Do you have ears and fail to hear? Do you not remember? Do you not understand? Yes, of course they don't. And we don't. Why? Here's a piece from Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit. They realized they were naked. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden. And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord called and said, "Where are you? I heard the sound of you, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." It's part and parcel of the disciples' walk, you and me, with having issues about hearing the word and letting it in. I want to ask this question and then maybe end with one or two things. Can we become willing to listen? And as St. Ignatius would put it, can we become willing to become willing to hear the word? Now, here's the word that they had just heard. I got to find it here. Come on. A lot of stuff here, a lot of notes. Come on. I'm very impressed with this, by the way. Okay. Immediately before this, and 6 days before this, Jesus had gone to Caesarea Philippi and said, "Who do people say I am?" They said, "Moses, Elijah, the prophet, blah, blah, blah." "Who do you say I am?" "You're the Christ, the Son of God." "Good job, Peter." And then he called the multitude with his disciples and said, well, first of all, he said, the Son of Man must be rejected, suffer, be put to death, and be raised on the third day. And Simon Peter said, "Don't do that. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Why? Because he was resisting the word and tempting Jesus to forsake his mission. And then he called them and said, "If anyone would come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever would save their lives will lose it. And whoever loses their lives for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit anyone to gain the whole world and forfeit their lives?" That's the last thing he taught before God said, "Listen to him." So what I find that this does for me is situate me in my discipleship. And part and parcel of discipleship is being deaf. And part and parcel of discipleship is being willfully deaf and protectively deaf and defensively deaf. That's part of it. St. Augustine, some centuries later, said, "Late have I loved you, O beauty ever ancient, O beauty ever new, late have I loved you." Because he realized late in his life that that was the case. And he said, "Behold, you were within me, but I was outside myself. And being outside myself, I sought you there. I sought the distractions and the stuff in life to make me certain and to make me secure. But you were within, and I was on the outside." Seems to me that in Lent, we get to discover that and find where we are situated with Christ and being encouraged to listen. Perhaps the most important thing we can do is simply notice our resistance to listening and say, "Here I am." That would make it a very different Lent, wouldn't it? So perhaps that'll say something to you. Let's take a moment to consider how we can pray for the needs of our world and church.